Hello and welcome. You're about to enjoy another exciting message from Adversary Christ the King. Here at ACTK, we believe in bringing people in to believe, building people up to belong, and sending people out to serve. If you have any other questions about our beliefs and values, or would just like general information about the different resources here at Adversary Christ the King, you can visit our website at www.actk.ca. Now let's listen to this week's message.
The title of my message is, Who Do You Trust? And if you have your Bibles with me, please turn to Proverbs 3. We're going to read verses 1 to 6. And if you don't have your Bible, it's up behind us today as well. Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know, I love that because for me, God has done some amazing things in my life. And I've been able to just let go and completely trust him. And when I read that, it reminds me of how lucky, how awesome God is. We're so blessed to be able to just come here and lay everything at the feet of Jesus. And when I read that, the word trust in the Lord, it echoes the command found in Deuteronomy 6:5. That says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love God with all your being. The verb trust is complemented by the verb lean. Trusting in God is a conscious dependence on God, much like leaning on a tree for support. These are action words. And the idea here is reinforced by the command to acknowledge him, to observe God, and to get to know him in the process of living life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If I was to ask each and every one of you, do you trust in the Lord today? I'm sure everyone would put their hand up. Yes, I trust in the Lord. However, if you're like me, it's not that easy, is it? That's right. It's very tough. But there are times when we are trusting in the Lord, and yet we don't understand. Things are happening all around us, bad things. And we're like, Lord, what's going on? How can this happen? I'm trusting you, Lord. And it's not just that easy as saying, Lord, I trust you. And we have to work at that. I want to tell you, in 2001, God did something amazing in my life. And as I stand here today and share this story, I may get a little emotional. My father passed away of a sudden heart attack. And before that, I was working in the automotive industry, and I was working as an auto glass technician, a glazier. I don't know if anyone knows what that is, but I worked for Apple Auto Glass, and I was managing the store. And I got a call from my brother in the afternoon, and he said, Mike, you need to come into Abbotsford. I was in Chilliwack at the time. He said, Dad has had a heart attack. And at that time, I thought, okay, that's all he said. I hung up the phone, and my dad was a strong guy, and I thought, okay, he's had a heart attack. I phoned my wife and said, honey, we need to go. Dad's had a heart attack. And I'll never forget pulling into the driveway of his house and seeing two police cars there. No ambulance, nothing. And I started to think, okay, what's happening, Lord? My brother came out of the house, and I remember seeing him in tears. And right then, it just hit me that my dad had passed away. He had died of a sudden heart attack and died instantly. Never got a chance to say goodbye. But what had happened that day was God did something not only in our family, but he did something in my life. He said to me, Mike, you are not doing what I've called you to do, and I want you to pack up, and I want you to move your family to Edmonton. Edmonton of all the places. Is anyone here from Edmonton, by the way? Oh, I love Edmonton. Don't get me wrong. I'm from Red Deer, actually, born in Red Deer, okay, so, yeah. But Edmonton, I said, really, Lord? Edmonton? But you know, the amazing thing was, is God said, trust me. So I went to my boss at Apple Auto Glass, the owner, and I said, you're never going to believe this, but I'm going to quit and I'm moving to Edmonton. He wasn't a Christian man, and he looked at me and he said, I believe that's what God is calling you to do. And there started this journey of trusting the Lord. We moved to Edmonton. I had my wife and we had four little kids at the time. I didn't have a job to go to, but I was just trusting the Lord to lead me there. And as we moved there and I got enrolled to go to Bible school, I remember thinking, we need to find a house. And we found this place that we could afford, and it was in Bon Accord, Alberta, which is quite a ways away from Edmonton. We didn't realize that at the time, but we were able to afford the house, so we bought it. And as I started driving back and forth to school and my wife and kids were there, I realized it was an hour and 15 minutes one way. And we were so far out there. We started to pray about a job for me, and I couldn't find anything, and I was going to school in the day. And then one night, this person that I knew growing up in Red Deer, Alberta, phoned and said, hey, I heard through the grapevine that you're back in town, and I have this perfect job at the Home Depot for you. You can work nights and go to school in the day. And she said, come, they're hiring right now, and I think I can get you the job. I just looked at my wife and said, God is starting to do amazing things. We got that job, and I worked nights, did Bible school in the day, but things were still tough. We found ourselves struggling to make it. And I remember one night in particular, we had been there for about maybe 6 months, and I came home, and my wife was sitting at the kitchen table, and our kids were in bed, and I sat down with her, and she just looked at me and said, honey, you know, we don't have any money, nothing for our mortgage, for groceries. And at that time, I started to think to myself, had I made a mistake? I gave up a great job. I left the things that were security for us and went to Bon Accord, Alberta. I know. You're thinking, dude, what's up? As I sat there at that table, you know, I thought to myself, maybe I should try and do something different. Maybe I should go and get a different job and quit Bible school. And that's when God hit me. He said, Mike, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I remember grabbing my wife and getting down on our knees and just praying, Lord, I need you. I need you, God. And for the first time, I was broken and hurt, and God had taken me from where we had money and a home and family to nothing. And he said, do you trust me? And that's where I said, God, it's not about me. It's about you, and I trust you, Lord. That weekend went by. Monday morning, I went to school. I got there, and I was in class, and after class, I had got a phone call. My wife was on the other line, and she said, Mike, you'll never guess what happened. And I said, hit me with it. Right now, just hit me with it. In Bon Accord, you don't leave your doors locked. You don't have to lock them. You keep your cars open. Our car, we were hoping someone would take, but nobody did. But she said she went out that next morning and went to go to the store to get some milk, and she said on the front dash of our car was a certified check for $1,200 made out to Mike and Amy Lewis. To this day, we don't know where that check came from, except it was God's hand at work who just said, you need this. We're going to bless you with it. I started to cry. I was standing in the hallway of the school crying. These kids who are 18, 19 years old, they're like, what are you doing? And I'm just crying on the phone saying, thank you, Lord. I was called a mature student because I was in my late 20s. Mature student, yeah. And I remember standing there saying, Lord, I just got this chill over me saying, thank you, Father God. When you truly let go with all your heart and you cry out to Jesus, he will direct your path. Today I have 3 points I would like to share with you. Number one is trust in him. Number two is believe in him. And number three is to know him. Trust in him. When life is difficult, hard, you're being persecuted, you're suffering and in pain, and you just don't understand, trust in him. You know, I didn't know Pastor Bob was going to show that clip of Pakistan, but today I really believe that, you know what, those people there, they need to trust in God. We don't understand what's happening, But we do know that we serve a God that is bigger than anything we can imagine. And they need him today. I believe this message is not only for us, but for them. Trust in God. Psalms 9, verse 10 says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You know, let's face it, life is tough. Even now today, I think to myself, the stuff that's happening and going on, and it's so hard. Life can be tough. But we have the Lord. Amen? We have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we can come to. Amen. You know, there's many signs. Let me just share a couple of signs that you may be having a bad day, okay? Just a couple. I've had lots, but I'm just going to share a couple. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. Anybody? No, don't put your hand up. I wouldn't either. No. Yeah, that's a bad day. Yeah. You locked your keys, wallet, cell phone in your car at a gas station down in the States. Now, I'm not saying that happened to me, but it was a bad day. My wife was with me, you know, and so it was a tough day where... And we had just gotten gas. Couldn't pay for it. It was a rough day. Here's one more, and this hasn't happened, but maybe to you. Maybe your car horn gets stuck as you're following a rather large group of bikers onto the freeway. You know you're going to have a bad day after that one. But life can be hard. The trials of life can be intense, and life often throws us into disarray and can cause us to be dependent, despondent or discouraged, and we often turn to our families or our friends or people we can trust, and that's okay. But you know, even those closest to us will eventually let us down simply because they are not God. Only God can give us that reassurance that he will never let you down. We have all felt that disastrous result of failed trust with families, with friends, confidences that are shattered, tears are shed, feelings are hurt, and our trust is in the end damaged. All because we fail to do the one thing that the Bible tells us to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Jeremiah 17, 5-7, it says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Let me read that again. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Did you know that the meaning of trust is a basic dependence on someone or something? And let me tell you, that someone is Jesus Christ. When you are facing trials, when you are at the very end and feel like you cannot go on, you just have to say, "God, I need you." And God is there for you. God is there for you. Amen? You with me so far? Good. You're a little quiet. I'm just, you know. Okay, good. Psalms 118, verse 8. I love this little passage of scripture, and I refer to it often. It says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." Psalms 118, verse 8. Isn't that so true? Sometimes our human nature, we want to be the person who fixes it, someone who tries to do it on their own. And I've been like that. I'm guilty of that. There have been so many times where I want to be able to jump in and fix it. And we're going through stuff. We're struggling. I'm like, what can I do? How can I help? And then God reminds me. He says, "Mike, call upon me. reach out to me and I will help. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. God wants you to fully, 100% with all of your being, trust in him. Trust is found in our unwavering belief that God of heaven will indeed work on our behalf to bring his perfect will for our lives into being. Amen? Do you believe that? God's will for us is better than anything we could imagine. Anything. And sometimes that's not easy, and I totally understand that. But you know, God has a plan for each and every one of you sitting here today. And when you lay that at his feet, when you trust God with all of your heart, and believe me, there are times I struggle. I struggle and say, Lord, I'm trusting you, but it's not getting any easier. God says, Mike, let it go. And when I've let it go, when I have not tried to step in, it's been amazing to see God's hand at work. Every time I jump in, I mess it up. And God's saying, dude, what are you doing? I said, let go. But isn't that hard? As humans, isn't that hard just to say, okay, God, it's yours. Let go and trust the Lord. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. One more time. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number two is believe in him. Believe in him. I heard this story and I want to read it to you because it's an amazing story. In the 19th century, there was a very famous acrobat known for his tightrope skills. And 160 feet over the Niagara Falls on a rope, a royal party from Britain observed this acrobat as he went across the tightrope on stilts, first of all. And then they watched him as he went across blindfolded. And after that, he went across and he stopped halfway and he cooked an omelet. Next, he wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other, and he returned with a sack of potatoes in the wheelbarrow. And then the acrobat approached the royal party. And he said to the Duke of Newcastle, he said, do you believe that I could take a man across this tightrope? Do you believe I could put you in here and take you across in this wheelbarrow? Well, he said, well, yes, I do, of course. Well, hop in, he replied. However, the Duke declined the invitation. You see, he believed the acrobat could do it, but he wasn't able to trust him with his own life. To be honest with you, that is the way that so many people today, even so many professing Christians, in their personal walk with God, they say, I believe in God. But when it comes to actually trusting in God, in his ability, in his knowledge, his power, his love and mercy and his grace, believing and trusting in him enough to get inside that wheelbarrow and declare, here we go, God, take me. Even though I travel over 160 feet above Niagara Falls, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And not only are you with me, you are carrying me. You are guiding me. And I place all of my trust in you, Lord Jesus. That is what we need to be doing. When God cruises by with that wheelbarrow and he says, hop in. You got to jump. And say, let's do this, Lord. Whoa. Sorry. I'm on your team. Sorry, good thing you're not closer. I would have spit on you guys, and sorry about that. It went over there. Don't worry. It's all good. You got to jump. It doesn't matter what God is telling us to do, if we are trusting him and believing in him, we need to jump. You know what I'm saying? Don't you get excited? Don't you want to jump right now? Yeah. I do. I get all jacked up a little bit. I want to jump off this stage, but I'll probably break a hip or something and it just won't be good. So God is doing great things. That is truly believing in God. That is what we need to be doing every single day. When we wake up, we need to place our trust in God. When we're going through struggles, we need to place our trust in God. Every day, the first thing we need to do is say, Lord, I am yours. I trust you. Use me, God. Use me, God. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That thing you're struggling with, battling with, that thing that causes you pain, worry, heartache, and strife, that thing that stands in the way of where you want to put God, that fear, that carnal habit, and all we need to do, all we need to do, and doesn't this sound so easy, is get down on our knees and say, God, here it is. I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you. I trust you, Jesus. Because those who know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior should believe that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, God is in control. God is in control. We might not understand the reasons why. Many times we don't understand. When my dad was taken from me, I had questions. Why, Lord? Why? And to this day, it's been hard to walk through that and realize what were the reasons. I look back on it now, and I know, God has revealed to me. Mike, you would not be standing here today if that didn't happen. You would have not stepped out in faith if that didn't happen. I love my dad with all my heart, but I want to tell you, what God has given me, what God has led me to be, and the person I am today, it was worth it. It was worth it. My marriage changed. My family life changed. My heart changed for God. Sometimes we don't understand, but we have to trust in him. Look, I'm an emotional big wuss. Yeah, sorry. I want to tell you a story. My brother and sister-in-law, they live in Bellingham. This was an amazing thing to me. His name is Toby, and he had gone with his wife, Jill, to Uganda on a missions trip. And when he had returned home, he had found that individually, God had been speaking to both of them. And they have 3 kids of their own, but they started to talk about adoption. And they started to talk about, is this something God is leading us to do? And as they talked to people around them and family and friends, everyone confirmed that in their life. And they felt, yeah, this is the process we want to do. We want to move forward. We feel like God is calling us to do this. So they began that long process, and they felt that God was leading them towards 2 specific siblings. I'm sorry, I forget you guys are always over there. I'll turn more. 2 specific siblings. Mia, 5-year-old girl, and her little brother, Kai, 4-year-old brother. They had people around them supporting them. They were moving forward on this, and they had got confirmation that everything looked good. So we were throwing fundraisers for them and raising the money and just so excited that God was bringing these 2 little kids into their life. I could hardly wait for them. Things were happening quickly. It looked like it was a go. In fact, they were almost a couple of months away from going over. And then suddenly, out of the blue, there had been a family member of Mia and Kai's that no one even knew about and put a stop to everything. They didn't want Mia and Kai to leave. They didn't want to take them, but they didn't want to let them go. And this poor little brother and sister were in the orphanage, and we thought, that's great if this family member wants to take them, get them out of the orphanage, but they didn't. They just didn't want them to be taken away. At this point, everything came crashing down. Toby and Jill were heartbroken, and they had told their kids, and their kids were so excited for a new brother and sister and what God was going to do. And thoughts of this, even in their minds, started, were we wrong? Was this something that was maybe just us? Did we not hear from the Lord? Those questions and answers soon turned to trusting and believing that no, this was what God wanted for us. We truly believe that, and even though we're not going to be able to get this little boy and girl, God wanted us to go through this. It was hard, but as they walked through that, they believed we needed to do this for a reason. And it ended up that they never ever did get Mia and Kai, and now God is still working in their hearts to see if they can do something different. But they were heartbroken. They had exchanged pictures and video, and Toby and Jill went over there and met them and loved on them. And when they got taken away, it was like your own children just ripped away from you. Even though it was hard, even though they didn't understand why, they knew that God had put them through that for a reason. Trust in God. Lean not on your own understanding, and He will make your path straight. When you let go completely, I can't say that enough. You know why? Because I'll be honest, again, I was hanging on. I wanted to hang on. I didn't want to say, God, it's completely yours. I was hanging on. And God knows that. God knows that. And He said, Mike, you need to let go. And when I did, it's so amazing. It is so amazing to be on a journey where you just know, hey, I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. But when I trust in God, I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's do this, Lord. Amen? Oh, I like to hear that. I like to hear that. It's exciting. You know, God is just an amazing God. And I stand here today, and I just am so thankful that He took this large, bald dude with a shiny head and said, I want to help you do ministry. I'm blessed to be here. When we let go, trust Him completely with our whole heart, and live with an open hand before God and saying, I am yours, Lord Jesus. Use me. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Number three is to know Him. When the road of life is long and heavy, we need to know God. Being aware of Him and having fellowship with Him, getting to know Him. How do you get to know someone here at church? Yeah, you hang out, right? Anyone like coffee? Oh, good. You have coffee together. You spend time together. And eventually you build this relationship, right? You get to know Him. That's what God wants with us. God wants us to get up in the morning and fellowship with Him, to have our coffee with Him, to hang out with Him, to do dinner together. As we drive our car, to be talking with Him. Anyone ever get that? I drive my car, and I seem to pray a lot while I'm driving. And this one time, I was at a stoplight, and I was just going, like, just praying, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day, and just talking. And I look over, and this lady's like, I was like, hi. And then I quickly left because I felt a little awkward. But God, He wants that, right? He wants you just to let go and start talking, building a relationship with Him, to know Him. It's the same. Just like you and I are building a relationship, God wants that in our life. If you spend every day with someone, you get to know them really, really well. You go and talk to my wife after and say, what's up with Mike? How is he a really, you know, is he a good guy? She'll tell you straight up. Well, I mean, that I am a good guy, but she'll also probably tell you everything else. My daughter, my daughter, she's over there. I love her with all my heart. Just about a month ago, she said to me, Dad, you married up. And I was like, I didn't know how to take that. I was kind of like, you're probably right, but she's like, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm like, well, I guess, thank you. But how do you take that? Dad, you married up. Thank you, daughter. Love you. Yeah. I guess I did, you know? Anyway, sorry, just had to say that. Plus, she's going to be mad at me now, but it was worth it. It was good. This last summer, I had the privilege of going to the Dream Center in L.A. Has anyone ever been to the Dream Center in L.A.? No, maybe a couple. Anyway, what it is, the Dream Center is an inner city mission right downtown L.A. that works with the homeless. They have a recovery center there that takes gang members straight out of gang, out of prison. They work with them. We took 25 young people down there and spent a week and a half working with this ministry. It was phenomenal. And I got to tell you, my eyes were open to stuff I had never seen before. God had done some amazing stuff. And through our kids, too, our students, it was awesome. And this one night at their church service on a Thursday night, they had this young guy come up and share his testimony. His name was Johnny. And Johnny was a practicing white supremacist, Nazi, been in jail since he was 27 years old, tattoos everywhere, and just a rough-looking guy. And when he came up on stage, all of our students were like, whoa, this is going to be interesting to hear what he's got to say. He had just been released from prison about 6 months ago. And in prison, he had heard of this person named Jesus. Didn't know anything about it, didn't know anything about him, started to pray and, well, just talk to God in his cell. His friends and that thought he was crazy. A week after his release, he had got plugged into the Dream Center by word of mouth. Some people went and found him and said, hey, do you want to go through this recovery home? And you got to commit your life for a year and go through this recovery. And he said, yeah, let's do this. He said, I have nothing. My wife has left me. My kids disowned me. My family disowned me. I have nothing. And Johnny was talking about his relationship with this one guy that had confronted him when he came into the Dream Center. He said this guy wouldn't leave him alone. He kept following him. And finally, the Dream Center people put them together in a room. Said, you guys seem to work well together. Johnny said, I don't want to be with him at all. This young man that was following him and kept praying for him and talking to him led Johnny to the Lord. And it was an amazing story. Johnny was standing there, tears running down his face, saying, this guy would not leave me alone. I told him to back off. He said, no, God loves you, and I want to see God in your life. Finally, one night, Johnny gave in. This guy grabbed him, prayed for him, hugged him, loved on him. Johnny, again, with tears streaming down his eyes, looked up, and the whole time you could hear the recovery house just cheering for him. They loved Johnny. Johnny looks up and he says, I want to thank you to my big black brother for not giving up on me, and you are my best friend. I started to cry. I look down the row and our students are all weeping because that's the God we serve. He can take someone who hates this person and bring them together and love on each other. That's the God we serve. Amen. I couldn't believe that once Johnny was done, he came down and his black brother came running down and they just grabbed each other. And it was such an amazing feeling of love. And you know, after that service, our students who were on the edge, they were struggling with stuff. 15 of them went down and recommitted their life to God because the Holy Spirit was just moving through that testimony and through that church. That's the God we serve. When it seems like the path is just too far, too long, the trials will never end. We cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's when God says, trust me the most. Psalms 34, verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. When I hear stories like Johnny, I get shivers because I know Jesus is real. He is alive and he is here today. Amen. Amen. Our faithful prayer every day must simply just be this: Lord, your will be done. Amen. Amen. I want to call the worship team back up, if they could come up. And before I end, I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray that God continues to pour into this church. I want to pray for each and every one of you that maybe you're struggling with something today. Maybe you're saying, man, I needed to hear that. Because every time I think about it, even in my own life, I need to trust in God. And I want to pray that for you and pray that God continues to pour into you.